Blog Talk Radio.
A Monday warrior, mean, mean stride. Today's Tom Sawyer, mean, mean pride.
Good afternoon in the Vatican City. Good morning on the East Coast. They're still sleeping on the West Coast. And a great day to you whenever. And oh, by the way, whenever you may be listening, my name is Jason Dias, broadcasting live from the offices of eloquentonline.net in beautiful New Braunfels, Texas, Republic thereof. And joining me, he is the toughest talkness chief operating officer from South Carolina Federal Credit Union, keeping life simplified. His name is Troy Hall. Hey, Troy, how are you?
I am doing wonderful, and remember, I'm here in the Holy City where even when it rains, the sun still shines.
That is absolutely right. If you're wondering about that little song bump we played at the beginning of our, at the end of our intro, that is the song that defines GTE Financial. They have a song that you hear and associate with their brand, and I've got to tell you, it works. Because the other day we did an internal radio program with their credit union for their staff, and I was humming that song all day. And you and I talk about this on the Power of Performance. We want to put on a great live performance every day. And when you can be the brand, when you can be the song, when you can be the credit union that gets stuck in your member's head and it's top of mind, Troy, that's exactly what we want, isn't it?
Absolutely. You need that little jingle to kind of get you through.
Yeah, and in their case, it's more of a jingle than a song, but it is a catchy tune. Hey, listen, today we're going to be talking to the 2012 Credit Union Times Trailblazers CEO of the Year, Joe Brancucci. And again, by way of full disclosure, myself, Scott McKenna, and Nike Van Wyk went out on Columbus Day to their Together We Can all-employee extravaganza event. And Troy, I got to tell you, when you talk about palpable energy. You probably heard me talking to when I talked to Mandy Zerbrick and some of the other folks, just a completely different vibe than I've experienced at some other events. Everybody fired up, everybody psyched up about what's going on over there. There's been a complete renaissance of that brand. And I know since you're involved with your PhD program in global leadership, you like hearing stories about one person coming in to a brand that literally was on the verge of extinction and completely turning it around.
I know, and I really love it, and I love the way their colors pop on the website. I think it's very contemporary, very and not just trendy. I think that's important. Like when you use the word contemporary, and sometimes people try to lump, you know, trendy on top of it, it makes it seem like, well, that, you know, it's not going to keep up, it won't stay.
Yeah.
But it's actually just really great use of colors and dynamics to do that. Joe does need a little hair. So I will tell you the picture on. It's a little scary on that page. But aside from that, I know he's not listening right at this moment. So I thought
actually he is.
Say that. Yeah, I know he was. I just wanted to mess him up before he comes on.
Oh, good luck, sharp gentleman, a really professional CU pro. But you're right. There's no reason to try to be overly trendy. It's like the time last year when you tried to bring back the members only jacket and the parachute pants. That was a bad attempt at trying to be trendy.
I know, and it was like dun 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 dun. Yeah, that didn't work. So, yeah,
hey,
we kind of left that out.
When we come back from the break, we're going to be joined by the 2012 CEO of the Year. And you are going to hear, this is not a conference session that you paid for to go sit and have your rubber chicken dinner and sit in a hotel ballroom listening to theories about how to make your brand better. This is a real, relevant, true story about what happens when real leadership is applied and a complete – you know, Troy, one of the things that drives me crazy, and you know this too because you do a lot of consulting too, I'll go around and I'll talk to chief executives and C-level people, and they'll say something like this. Well, that person doesn't really get what we're trying to do. And I'll say, well, then why don't you get rid of that person? And the and it's always some variation of this. Well, they've been here a long time.
Yeah.
And I said it a couple shows ago that I think sometimes credit unions are the nice guys of the banking industry. And sometimes you have to go in and make thoughtful, proactive, meaningful, permanent changes to get that brand turned around. And that's what we're going to hear about today. And we'll do it all right after this. All right, joining us from Florida, his name is Joe Brancucci. He is the Chief Executive Officer out at GTE Financial. Hey, Joe, how are you?
Good morning.
Very good to have you.
Joe, we're so excited you're going to be on the show, and I really loved our little pre-show talk. And you talked about being controversial, so I'm going to hold you to that today.
I'm always controversial, thank you.
So I think maybe just to kind of get us started off a little bit, just tell us a little bit about how that controversy fits into your career, your family, your hobbies, things like that.
I've always kind of been, even when I was a kid, controversial. I always would not do what everyone else did. I was kind of a loner and kind of an academic, and I always kind of dreamt about things that, you know, people kind of just kind of poo-poo as not being possible. So for me, it's always been pushing the envelope. And even when I was 6 or 7 years old and I had my own little business, I used to have a line of 10 cars that I washed every Sunday morning, 50 cents each. I made the same amount of money every week for a number of years.
Wow.
Starting at 6 years old. But the whole point was I did it, and I learned how to get more efficient at it, and it was something that my peers, obviously, at 6 years old weren't doing. But to me, it was just a matter of focus. But it was always about doing something that made me feel like I was accomplishing something for somebody, and I, you know, having a clean car was one of those kind of things at that time.
It's kind of like that entrepreneurial spirit where you actually felt like that was the freedom that you had, was to be able to create and to be your own, you know, your own master, so to speak, of your destiny, or your master of your own finances, or whatever in that regard.
Correct. And the other part of that is that if you think about the era that I was born in, which is a lot earlier than the era that either one of you were born in.
I don't know. You'd be surprised.
A six-year-old and a 1955 Packard.
Hey, listen, Packard, don't let the hair color fool you. So go ahead.
You know, but a six-year-old and a 1955 Packard in and of itself was a challenge. So just you have to think about that. So for me, it was even people said I couldn't do those cars because I wasn't a teenager.
Got it.
So I did it.
And what about your family, hobbies, career? How did you get from where you were to the president of GTE Financial?
Well, in many, many, many years ago, I started where I believe all financial institution people should start, as a teller.
Yep.
And I was full-time in college, and I decided I was going to get married, so I decided I needed to work as well as go to college. And so I started as a teller, and then about 3 or 4 months later, the folks there said, you know, you're kind of too smart to do that. You're kind of challenging everything we're doing. Why don't we put you someplace where you can do some good? We'll put you in lending. And so I actually started a management training program, and I did all the cycles and ended up in lending. Lending has been kind of my specialty for the last, 40 years anyway.
Well, at least you should be happy that they didn't say, well, let's put you in a place where you can't hurt anyone.
Well, they did say that in the beginning because, you know, I was definitely a bull in a china shop. I was young and aggressive and had no wisdom whatsoever. And
well, that's just described men in general, so
yeah,
there we go.
Now
we have that handled for any of the ladies out there listening. There you go.
All right. Settle down, gentlemen.
Joe, you told me when you got to GTE, before it was GTE Financial, before you went through this amazing rebranding process, that you found a credit union that was literally dying. You said the plants were dying. There was no energy anywhere. The people that are listening, and many of them might have similar challenges going on with an existing brand that maybe is getting a little old or stale. What are some of the things you did to take it from dying to thriving?
Well, let me describe the scene because you kind of gave us some idea about what it looked like. But you have to really understand the depth of it. First off, I use the metaphor that I got into the airplane and I saw into the cockpit and I saw blades of grass. That was a little scary in and of itself. But when I walked in the door the first day, my first day of work, I walked into the entranceway and all the plants were dead. And as I encountered the staff, they were walking. If you've ever seen the modern zombie movies, mm-hmm. looking at the floor and dragging their feet, everyone looked that way. There was really no energy in anyone's life. They were sad. They were very, very much just coming to work and moving through the motions. Mm-hmm. And but I had done something 6 weeks before I got here, and that what I did is I set out a number, and I just gave them a number. I met with the management staff and said, look, you're going to have a big change coming on in 6 weeks. So I'm going to just give you something really simple to have everyone focus on for the next six weeks. And get a lot of discussion going on the number 710. Didn't say 7.10, but just 710. So there was a whole bunch of discussion around that. And in that period of time, I actually blogged with the employees on a regular basis that I was coming and what was to be expected. And I kept on teasing about the 710. So what the 710 was my first day and first email to all staff was, okay, I know that in the last, since 09, you had a 5% pay cut, and, you know, there are some other things that we need to work on, but if we can hit 7.10 in capital by December 31st of 2010, which is 6 months later, I would reinstate the 5% pay cut, and I got them focused. They had a lot of excitement because they were trying to figure out what this number was, and then all of a sudden they knew what the number was, and they got focused on it. So the short of the story is we got to 725 in capital at the end of the year, and that was a big deal because we were on our way to the fours, just so we know that. So that was a big reversal, and to me it was the power of the employees being focused on something that they could understand and that had a tangible reward at the end of it. And it worked. The excitement level as we got closer and closer to that set, as we broke through 7%, there was, you know, celebrations in the hallways because, you know, we were on 3 weeks or three or 4 weeks away from conservatorship, and now we're on the opposite side of conservatorship. Wow. And, you know, in a very short period of time. And everything that we did from the beginning of our relationship with the employees of this credit union, the members of the credit union, the regulators, and the board, we termed it eloquent transparency, and that our communication was going to be open, honest, and brutally frank. There would be we wouldn't, you know, skirt around the issues. It is what it was, and I have a great example of it because about 2 weeks after I got here, we were going to celebrate anniversaries. They had not done it for a whole bunch of time, and I said, we got to celebrate something here. Let's celebrate anniversaries. And so I made my presentation and, you know, awarded these gifts or whatever to all of these folks. And I said, okay, I'm going to open up for questions, but one thing you're going to know about me, if you ask me a question, I will give you an answer. So don't ask me a question you don't want to hear the answer to. And so about three questions, you know, a couple of questions were kind of minor, you know, how was the mood? And about third or fourth question, someone said, you know, it's my understanding that, you know, we're in trouble. We didn't know that before you got here, but we know that we're in trouble now. We know that we probably are too many employees for the size of the organization, and we know that we're going to have to do something to get this under control. Are we going to have any layoffs? And so most CEOs would have skirted that question. I didn't. Went right into it. Yes, it'll occur on September, blah, blah, blah. Here's what's going to happen. Here's what's going to happen to the employees that are involved. Here's what we're going to make sure to mitigate that and whatever else. So when we actually did announce the capital restoration plan, which included some layoffs, it wasn't an event. It was a non-event. And so the employees continued to do that. And it was the beginning of the building of trust. Yeah. And I blog with the employees 1 to 4 times a week. It's called Vision and Voice. Before I got here, it was called See You Soon. Really, really creative name here. But it's called Vision and Voice. They named it. They voted on it. And it's not about the weather. It's a very, you know, heartfelt blog around whatever is going on in the organization. I address any rumors that are going on, you know, anything that I hear in the hallway at the water cooler or whatever else, or whatever we're doing as a credit union and, you know, kind of initiative. Last one was on, you know, our celebration and governance model and the, you know, the entire member election of the board. So it was all about doing that. So the big turnaround had to do with getting the culture to start to be trusting of each other and to start having respect for each other and then to believe that they could do things that they didn't believe they could do. Now, the other part of that is that in the last 3 years, 80% of the staff is brand new. Mm. So I heard you talking about this a little earlier. I mean, we found that a number of the folks either couldn't or wouldn't become active in our culture and become part of the solution. They would rather just come in for work every day, and
right.
the culture has no place for them. So that's really the crux of the solution. I mean, we focused on things, and we got the staff involved. The big change was, though, if I asked you to get in a car, fill it up with gas, start driving, and call me when you arrive, that is an impossible statement to deliver on. There's no direction there. Where are you arriving to? And that,
right.
to me, is an organization without a strategic plan. And we did not have a strategic plan when I got here.
Yeah.
And 80 days after I got here, we had a board strategic plan, the first one that board had actually been actively involved in a number of years, that they bought into, we bought into, and the staff absolutely understands. And we're zealous about it. You know, I am the strategic disciplinarian. We kill squirrels and we don't look at bright lights. We focus on the strategic direction of the organization.
Yeah.
And that's what's gotten us to where we are today.
You know, one of the questions we had was, you know, what inspired you to take on a challenge? But basically, when you talked about the, you know, doing the car at 6 years old and doing the business, I mean, you're just the type of guy who's up to a challenge. So really, that's what this particular situation presented to you was, a significant challenge and an opportunity for you to say, "Hey, I can do this."
I have great genetics. Obviously, I worked at one of the great credit unions in the United States, Boeing Employees Credit Union, BECU, in Seattle for 15 years, and you know, was part of the team that created that very unique organization. But the delta of change in the, you know, my next decade of life there was very little, because it's, you know, you get to a certain level of great and there's just degrees of great. Here I saw a great charter that was in absolute disarray, with an incredibly loyal member base, and we can talk about that a little later. But I mean, I call them the codependents. We feed them, we stopped lending to them, and we took away their deposit interest. You know, and they still loved us, so they were very codependent members. But they deserve better than that. And I thought that there was an opportunity to save a great charter that was going to become extinct. And to me, that was a challenge. And it was the delta of change that we could implement in a short period of time was going to be something that was not ever seen in this industry. And to this day, I believe that that's true. No one has ever seen the amount of change that we've gone through in what's now 34 months or 35 months. So,
and that's the thing that kind of blows me away about the whole thing. It's not like you're talking about something that's taken 5 or 10 years to accomplish. When you look back at it in the history of the credit union that's been around since 1935, it's been a pretty quick turnaround. When we get back from the break, we want to talk about how you keep that momentum going, maybe talk a little about the uniqueness of your membership base, and we'll do it all right after this.
You're listening to The Power of Performance. If your brand were a band, would you leave your audience wanting more?
That's right. You are back on The Power of Performance, where the talk is hot and the hosts are
hotter.
Much, much, much hotter. Hey, we're visiting
with
Joe.
Joe, did you like that?
It was okay, Troy.
Oh, would you like me to have done it in a higher falsetto voice?
He told you not to ask questions you didn't want answers to.
Well, I didn't say I didn't want the answer to him, but I just want to know. So how would I improve that? Would it have been in a falsetto voice? Would you like me to have said,
hotter? No, I don't
That's
think.
That's okay. You want me to go pass on this conversation with something else?
Hotter. I mean, would that have helped?
No,
great. It's great, Troy. I'm going to have to go take care of things.
Okay.
You talked when I talked to you at GAC, when I was at the Trailblazer Awards and you were getting your award for CEO of the Year, you talked about the number of new members that you were adding each day, not each week, not each month, not each quarter. First of all, tell us about how many members you're adding every day today, and then how do you keep that momentum going?
So at the GAC, I said that we were averaging 112 new members a day. Today, we're averaging 131 new members a day. So we're not getting the momentum going. We're increasing the speed of the momentum. And for us, it's all around our strategic flywheel. We have from the book Good to Great, you talk about the doom loop, and then you talk about the strategic flywheel as a way of looking at the business. And for us, the more efficient and effective we get at delivering our brand promise, the more member referrals we're getting of new members, and the more that those members are starting to use us, the more pumped our employees become, the more pumped they become, the better the experience becomes, and so on and so off. so forth. So our momentum is actually improving every day. And when I got here, we had at one time 39 facilities. When I got here, we were down to like 27, I guess, and today I'm down to 21. But if you look at the 39, they were not generating any membership. Since 2004 was the last year there was a positive net member growth number in this organization until last year. So to me, that was a source of real evil for a credit union. We're member-owned cooperatives. If you're not bringing in new members and your average age continues to get older and older and older, you have old depositors with $5 share accounts who cash their paycheck on the last day of the month, and not much else going on in our facilities. And so that was a big change for us. How do we attract new members, and how do we get them engaged in the business of the credit union and then refer more members? And, you know, last month we had almost 500 members refer members into the credit union. That's a big deal.
So, it is. And so what I wanted to ask you a little bit is about that membership that's drawing into the credit union. What's their makeup? Do you categorize them based on an age, or is it just that you are just happy that it's a living, breathing, active, using member?
Well, we have in our strategic plan, we use our strategic differentiator is that the members who come to us want an advocacy-driven model, but they want to do it virtually. And so they get the most value from this organization by dealing with us in a virtual manner. So if they come into our community financial centers, and you notice I don't use the word branch, but our community financial centers are supposed to be the center of what's going on in the community they're located in. They deal with our not-for-profits, our community partners, or SEGs, and they deal with our membership, but more importantly, they're kind of a hub for building relationships. And so a prospective member comes in, and that relationship is developed in that community financial center. And we have everything from a cloud in every one of our community financial centers, so a member can come in with their own iPad, iPhone, or whatever they want, and they can actually, you know, sign in and do their own stuff. Or we have technology there, including iPads and whatever else, to show them how to use the technology and help them sign up for the various parts of the virtual technology. We're attracting a demographic that is into that, which very honestly, if you look at even the current ABA studies, the majority of folks don't really want to go into a branch to do anything anymore. You know, they want to be they have convenience and whatever else. And so we sell to that. And the more we are successful at it, and if you've been on our website, you'll see it's been redesigned and it's an incredibly intuitive, easy to use,
beautiful, attractive, live
website. It's very alive. You know, you go to our Facebook page. We have a very active social media. We have a full-time person that does nothing except social media. We're very much for an old guy. I'm really hip. I'm really into all the new stuff, and that's to me, it's like new toys, and it's a whole new way of doing business. You know, we have folks that we have ambassadors on our major universities that bring in memberships. They drive financial literacy training, and then they do membership drives. Our community partner group, formerly known as SEG Development, they actually drive financial literacy coursework at these community partners, and they have a very large new member growth number every month. Not a new number of SEGs, but I want the community partners to be real partners and to have active membership. So we're very much into membership. Membership's our currency, and for us, membership will then drive loan growth. And, you know, we've had 2011 was our – we originated $918 million worth of loans last year. It was hard to originate $250 million when I first got here. And, you know, we sold $500 million of first mortgage loans to Fannie Mae last year out of that $918 million. And it really helped the top-line revenue part of this organization as we got rid of all of our fees. So, again, we've rebuilt the organization. We looked back and said, look, the culture needed to be fixed. The product line was antiquated. The delivery systems, we have plenty of technology we had purchased, but we weren't using it appropriately, needed to be regenerated. Our architecture, our legal architecture, the policy architecture, our procedure architecture needed to be redesigned so that we could be very nimble and very much a participant in the marketplace. And we also identify the white space in the marketplace and what would attract new members to us. And so, you know, we had a little blip like everyone else did up at Bank Transfer Day, but the point is we were already doing well before that, and we've done really well since then. I mean, at 9.11 net member growth number for last year is going to be probably way eclipsed this year.
Wow. Well, let me ask you this. Before Troy wraps this up, if you I don't know if you go out and do speaking and stuff like that out in the marketplace, but if you could give some advice to any credit union chief executive or C-level person that's listening today that wants to achieve the same kind of turnaround with their brand, what are some of the bits of advice you would give them, like the no-nonsense stuff that they have to do if they want to reimagine their brand?
Brief. Focus on becoming relevant again to the membership and to the communities, and then look at your organization structure and be honest with yourself. Is it really nimble? Does it really have what it takes to deliver on whatever your brand promise is? And if it doesn't, then you need to elevate those folks around you to the position of member. We don't terminate people here. We elevate them to the position of member. And it's better for them and better for you all, and that's what we've done. And you know, someone said, "Well, you're real hard-nosed." Well, no, I'm not. I'm a big softy. But the reality of it is, we're all adults, and we choose
our
attitude.
That's
we
right.
choose how we're going to do business. We choose whether or not we're going to be present every day. And
right.
If we don't want to do that, then you don't belong in this culture. And the fun thing for me right now is that the culture is starting to self-select. So if we bring a new employee in and they're not working out, the work group will say, This person's not working out, and they will help them elevate themselves to member. And that's pretty cool when the work group actually knows that it's not working. And it's a totally different organization. You can't be weak of heart. You still do things with respect, and you still have to make sure that you're looking out for your employees and you're not scaring them. But you're empowering them to do great things every day, and you celebrate that all the time. And when things are not going so well, you also talk about that. You don't hide it. And I don't think there's a lot of experience in our industry with doing that. We're nice people, and I'm still a nice guy, but I still have to look out to make sure this credit union's here for the next generation of members.
Right. And, you know, Joe, some of the things that you said are just so spot on, and it's just amazing that folks can listen to this radio show and get good quality information without having to pay a dime. Because the things that you spoke about,
you just said I'm cheap,
are very consistent. They're very consistent with the fact that what you have done is you have defined your structure, and then you have created strategy that supports your structure. Too many
That's
times
correct.
What happens with leaders is that they have these strategies that they want to employ because they have read them as a best practice somewhere, or they've gone to some conference and they listen to a speaker who's up there and said, oh, this is the next best thing since sliced bread, and they think they're supposed to take it back, or they somehow get misaligned because board members go to these sessions, God forbid, and they come back and they give you the direction that you should now implement this particular idea, and no one decides whether it should match up with the strategy or not. So when you spoke before about being the strategist, I mean, you know, you're keeping your finger and your pulse to it, and it's on purpose, and the reason it's working is because you have aligned it to the structure. You understood culture. You understood that the culture itself is really bigger than you, but it is supplied by you. It is supported by you, and therefore the others around you will then take energy and work it from there. So, you know, really great stuff. I mean, the other thing that you talked about was self-efficacy, the individuals believing in themselves that they can do something more than what they ever thought was possible. I mean, and being very candid. Jack Welch, in his book, Winning in 2005, he and his wife Susie wrote, he talked very specifically about the value in candid speaking to employees to build a trusted environment. I mean, really, really great stuff, Joe. Just, I'm so excited that I had an opportunity to chat with you a little bit on this. This is really great. Great stuff.
Thank you, guys.
Well, listen, Joe, we hope we can maybe in the future compel you to come back and keep us up to date on how things are going out there. I agree with Troy. I don't know why people fly off to conferences and go through the TSA shakedown and the $4 hotel bottle of water to hear theories when they can tune into this program and hear real stories. I want to congratulate you on your award. I think it was well-deserved, and I want to wish you continued prosperity and success as you move forward. And I want to thank you so very, very much for joining us.
I appreciate it, and appreciate the forum. And you know, to me, the core of our success is built around culture. And we're actually getting prepared to ask the employees to answer the one question I asked them last year: is what's the GT culture mean to you, and we actually publish the culture book every year, and so we are going to publish our 2013 volume soon here as well. So to me,
that is really sweet. Come
back on and talk about culture maybe.
Joe, you're going to have to do a marketing program about car washes. I just want to let you know that now. You're going to have to do this.
Yeah.
The GTE Financial Car Wash.
So you just put the image of a little kid in a 1965
Packard. Yeah, I mean, you know, think about it. Yeah, I may just have to drive my car down to see if I can pull up one of your branches. Maybe some of your branch managers can give me a car wash. You know?
I'm sure he's dying to wash your
I will tell you, though, if you drive up to one of our community financial centers, not branches, and it's raining out, they will actually come out with an umbrella and bring you back in.
That's nice.
That is really sweet. Yeah, good stuff.
Hey, listen, Joe, you have a great week out there at GT Financial. And again, thank you so very much for joining us.
Thank you, guys.
You guys take
care.
See
you, Joe. Bye. Well, I will say, Jason, for a change, you found someone to compete with you because we did not listen to 29 minutes of you. We listened to 29 minutes of our speaker, which was great.
I don't want to keep harping on this, but I don't understand why people continue to go to these webinars and these wacky conference sessions that are talk. I mean, I saw a thing the other day on an agenda item, marketing to Generation Y. Are we still talking about that as though it matters?
Right, because you know why? Here's the deal. If we talk about it, we don't have to do anything about it. That's the reason. We get stuck in talking. Guess what? Talking mode means, okay, so it's almost like research. We used to look at projects around here, and they would be like research, research, research. I had to look at it finally. I go, how much research do you have to do in order to decide if you want to do it or not?
Well, listen, man, as you can probably tell, we are well into bonus time. But this conversation with Mr. Brancucci was absolutely worth it. It's very good to have you back on the show. We missed you last week.
Thank you. I'm so sorry. I couldn't be. Last 2 weeks, I think, I actually missed.
I think so, yeah. That's all right. It's always good to have you back. You know what they say about absence? It simply makes the heart grow fonder. And the studio audience is always much happier when you're in studio or on the phone with us. Hey, next week we're going to be talking at 12 noon Eastern Standard Time to another credit union president, John Holt, up in Connecticut. Another great story about taking a brand and really reimagining what it means, the kind of stuff you and I love to talk about, because of course the show is the Power Performance, the show that asks the question, if your brand were a band, would you leave the audience wanting more? These credit unions that we're talking to, they're leaving their audience wanting more because they're doing things the right way. Troy, I want you to have a great, great week out there in beautiful Charleston, South Carolina.
Yep, you too. I'll see you next week.
All right, everybody else, if it's Wednesday, it's the Power of Performance. You guys have a great, great week. Until next time, go out there and make a huge difference. Put on a great live performance. Leave the audience wanting more and be in business forever. Talk to y'all soon.